We've been emphasizing the kingdom of God for several weeks, and we're going to emphasize it again this morning, maybe in a little different way. What I want to talk to you about is the leper coming to Jesus. Interesting question. Would the lepers in our society find a place of welcoming here? There's something, and we're going to make this our last issue this morning, there's something about Jesus that attracted the hurting, the lost, the lepers, the sinners, the diseased, to him. What's attracting people to us? Once you think about it, we get so caught up in trying to feed somebody the scripture or give them our opinion or trying to get them saved that we jump ahead of where God wants us to be and we turn them off. And they walk out. That's happened here. It happened just recently. And so before you try to beat somebody up with your Bible, get to know why they're here. Get to know what they're coming for. Get to know what they're looking for. Get them to understand what's going on. And then share everything with them that they want to hear. But there was something specific in the life of Jesus, and we're going to look at that, that attracted the leper. In Matthew chapter 8, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now please, understand something. Don't make a doctrine out of the words of a man coming to Jesus. Well, God will heal me if he wills. Well, who told you he didn't? God will do this if he wills. And so all kinds of people have made a doctrine out of the fact of the words of a man coming to Jesus to receive something. And we're going to tell you about a leper in just a moment, but you need to understand his position in society. You need to understand that this man had no position in society. He had no position in the temple, and he had no position with people. He was an outcast. And wherever he went, he had to cry what word?
Unclean.
So he had no place. And so don't you think he came to Jesus thinking, "I wonder if this guy will accept me. I wonder if this guy will accept me." And Jesus put out his hand and pushed him away. Amen? He put out his hand, touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Go your way. Now I want to add this in just to show you something. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him. People coming to him. Lepers were shut out from the temple, synagogues, and society. They were deprived of any social life or fellowship with people. A very pitiable place to be indeed. When they were cleansed, it's a lot deeper than not having the disease anymore. They are accepted back into society. They could go to the temple. They could go see their families. They could have this relationship with people. Because undoubtedly, the only person that a leper could talk to was another leper. We okay? And so, the leper is looking for hope. The leper is looking for someone that can do something to him that no one else could do. And so he comes to Jesus. And he looks at Jesus as his hope. And he says, if you're willing, you can make me whole. The Bible says he came worshiping him. In Mark, it comes says he comes down and bowed before him. In Luke, it says he fell on his face. He was in the presence of the only one that could help him. Not knowing, listen to me now, not knowing how Jesus would respond. Not knowing if Jesus would say, no, I want nothing to do with you. You're not supposed to be here. You're not supposed to be in society. You're not supposed to come to anyone. You are basically dead in the eyes of people. Or, yes, I am willing, be cleansed. Very interesting. I want to make a couple points. And I know there's food out there and I can smell Angie's onions. What a refreshing treat. Number one, Jesus released this man so he could praise God. I want you to think about that. Jesus healed, cleansed, released this man so he could praise God. How many have ever heard you're the light of the world? I want to tell you something. You're not a reflection of Jesus. Listen to me. You're going to hear people saying, you're a reflection of Jesus. You're a reflection of Jesus. No, you're not. You are the light because Jesus is inside you. Amen. You are the light because Jesus Christ lives within you, and that light just radiates out from you. And so as you walk and as you live, and as you do the things that God has told you to do, that light is shining. Jesus said, well, let's go there. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse number 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How many understand that light attracts people more than darkness? Do you ever think about living in some parts of Alaska where it's dark for 5 or 6 months? How would you like that? My grandson would, because he'd never have to get out of bed. But we come to a place where the light is more valuable than the darkness. I was up in Alaska for a couple weeks, a couple times. How many would like it where it's light 24 hours a day? That's a different story. They put heavy shades on the windows so we could sleep. But the light that's in your life is radiating out to those around you. You are the light of the world. Therefore, the one thing we are called to do is shine. To allow people to see the light of Jesus Christ. Because when they see the light of Jesus Christ and they're released into a place of praising God, they're released into a place where the glory of God comes upon them. And they walk in that glory. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse number 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. How's that hit us? How many things?
All things.
Is there anybody that's just a chronic complainer you need to be delivered this morning? Do all things without complaining or disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as what?
Lights
in this world. There's one thing about the world getting dark, and that is you're going to be brighter. You're going to be brighter and light up the darkness. I love the way you're shouting.
Amen.
I love the way you're getting excited. If the kingdom of God is going to be built, the people of the kingdom must build it.
That's right, amen.
We don't get it sometimes. How many of you have been hoping that someone would ride into town on their white horse and start a revival? It isn't going to happen that way. God is looking at you to be a catalyst in the move of God that starts a revival as God anoints you and use your gifts, and other people will come in and join with that. There's an anointing that needs to happen in this community through its people, that when other people come in and minister, and others will and are, they'll step into anointing that's already here.
Yes, sir.
Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Jesus came as the light of the world. But as he left, we became that light. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 9. But you are, say I am. Or if you don't want to use the word him, say I is. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. For what? Why do you say we're all that? That you may show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God calls us to shine. Don't cover it with something. Don't get full of despair and cover up your light. Don't become a place where you're going through things or things are happening and all of a sudden you camouflage yourself. That's not the issue. The issue is shining. You may say, but Pastor, this is a dark time. God asked you to do one thing, shine. But Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. Shine. But Pastor, my family isn't working out. Shine.
That's right.
You've tried everything else, right?
Yes, sir.
We've gone to the darkness. We've identified with the darkness. At times, we've even lived in the darkness as God is saying, shine.
Amen.
Just shine.
Amen.
We need a mind change.
Amen.
We need a spirit to come upon us that says, we're shining. I know there are times, I've read your things on Facebook, there are times you can't be on Facebook and shine. Then get off Facebook. I mentioned last week, we were preaching in the jail, and a guy says, well, the only time I drink is when I watch football. I said, don't watch football. Pretty simple. We are called to shine. And the cost of not shining is that people don't see the light that attracts them to God.
Yes.
Whatever it is, shine. And I sat down yesterday and last night, yesterday afternoon, and just started thinking. Start asking myself a question. I know you have answers, but let's look at it a little closer. What attracted people to Jesus? What attracted people to Jesus? And what attracts you, people to you? Someone said, birds of a feather, what? Let me ask you a question. Are you tracking the negative or are you tracking the positive? You know, I never thought that I'd reach a point where it's so easy to talk about all my ailments. You know, when I was young, and I was at one time, regardless of what you might think, you know, you sat with the older folks in the 70s and 80s, and now I is one. Be 70 in June. You started listening to all the things they talked about and all the pains and all the aches, and it's so easy just to get in a group and start talking about all the pains and the aches. Amen?
Amen.
Shame on me. Shame on me. I honestly believe that what attracted people to Jesus was his love, his compassion, his mercy.
Yes.
Bob Schuller built the Crystal Cathedral on two points, two simple points, and he spread them throughout the world. Bob Schuller's philosophy was find a need and meet it, and find a hurt and heal it. And when people found out that was what the Crystal Cathedral was about, and it was before the Crystal Cathedral, a lot of people don't know that Bob Schuller started his church in a drive-in theater. But he built the foundation on Christ, but on the philosophy that he was going to find needs in people's lives and they were going to meet them as a church. And they were going to find a hurt and heal it. Where'd that come from? Jesus. Wherever Jesus went, someone was there, except for his prayer time, that was hurting, that was possessed, that had issues, that had a family problem, that had a situation, and Jesus went and ministered to it. Even sometimes unknowingly. How about the woman with the issue of blood? Just creeped up behind him and touched his garment. What happened? Healing. And she was afraid, and Jesus calmed her down and said, "How do I know it? Because I felt virtue, power go out of my body." Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 32. As he went out, behold, they brought him a man mute and demon-possessed, and when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, "We have never seen this in Israel." The Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the rulers of demons." Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Not only did the people come, but the people brought people to him. Do you ever think about just having people around you all the time? Did you ever think of sitting down to supper and somebody's knocking on your door saying, "Will you heal me?" Do you ever think of just going to a restaurant and you can't even eat your meal because the glory of God and the presence of God is so strong upon you that people come for prayer? That would have been Jesus. And you know something? It may be us. We heard about people without hope. We heard about some things I don't understand this morning, and I just kind of hid my head because I was afraid. Zombies and... what is it? Well, forget it. But we come to a place where people out there and some right here, right now, are looking for someone that can give them hope. That can absolutely answer the questions that need to be answered in their life. That can let them know that life is in Jesus Christ. It's not about doing this or doing that or going there or getting involved in this. It's about Christ. Yes. And the sad part of it is that many places called churches want to feed them a sermonette and want them to like the service so much that they forget about what they need from God. But they go out with the same issue they came in with. And they come back week after week after week after week. And God is saying, "What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it?" How many of us are just so much in love with God, we get sick of looking at sickness. We get sick of looking at people going through things that we would look at and say, "Nobody should go through these things." But the people are looking for somewhere to go. Can they come to us? Can we look at that and say, I really care? Or we come to a place where, please don't bother me, I'm busy. Back in Ezekiel, God says, I sought for a man or a woman who would make up a hedge and stand in the gap for the people. Jesus became the one to stand in the gap. But we're the ones that he's chosen and he's called and he's anointed and he's touched to be available, to minister, to let people know we are filled with the love of God and we love him.
Yes, sir.
And we care about him. And it doesn't matter if they're a leper or a park ranger or what they are. One that nobody wants anything to do with. It doesn't matter. We're here because God placed us here to change people's lives and to bring hope and to set the captives free by the power of God. But what happens, we get busy schedules, even though sometimes we have nothing to do. And at times we say, well, let somebody else deal with it. I'm not qualified. At times we say, I don't know what to do. God does. God qualifies you. God anoints you. God's given you words. Fact is, he told his disciples, when they take you before the leaders, don't even worry about what you're going to say. I'll give you the words. Amen?
Amen.
He does. And we stand with arms wide open for people who need help.
Amen.
I've often wondered, and I don't have an answer for it, how much word do you have to have in you before you have enough word to give it away? How much love do you have in you before you have enough love to give it away? How much grace? How much mercy? When do we start sharing it? And you may say, do we have to? No. But the Dead Sea is dead because it doesn't have an outlet. We're all human. We all have issues. We all have things that consume our time and consume our thoughts. But have you ever stopped and thought that the issues wouldn't be so big if we allowed God to be in control? Question in the Bible when I believe Jesus confronted Abraham and he says, is there anything too hard for God? Anything? Is there anything that we're going through as the body of Christ that is too big for God? Is there anything God can't handle? Is there anything that caught him by surprise? I love Barb's testimony. I was there. I know she said what she said. We're going to make it. Whatever you're going through, you're going to make it. But it seems a lot harder when that's all I focus on. It seems a lot harder when I go to bed with the idea and I wake up in the middle of the night with the idea and I wake up in the morning with the idea and I go have coffee and I'm thinking about the issue, the problem, what's going on. And pretty soon it doesn't take very long before the enemy gets in there and tries to magnify. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's true. Therefore, when I'm going through my problem and I see what Brian's going through, I just ignore him. I reach out. I get involved in somebody else's life. You've heard it and I've heard it said hundreds of times, and sometimes it's not even fitting, but somebody else's problem is always bigger than mine. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Not always true. But as you begin to help people, as you begin to touch people, as you begin to let the heart of Christ just shine through and that light radiate, doesn't seem so bad. Just doesn't seem so bad. I love it. You can build yourself under a rock ledge with issues if you let it happen.
Right.
Or you can break out of it through the love of God.
That's right.
And start ministering to other people. And that's the deal. Do you realize that Jesus knew he was going to the cross every day that he lived?
Yes.
Especially during the times of ministry, I should say. That 3.5 years, what he was doing, and the Bible says at one place he set his face to go to Jerusalem and nothing was going to stop him because he knew what was waiting him.
Yeah.
He knew it. And he told his disciples, and they had a marvelous comprehension of what he was saying. No, they didn't. He knew it all. I enjoy looking at the life of Christ because he lived for 3.5 years with someone he knew would deny him and he knew would betray him, and yet he kept going. He knew it. But his love for other people, his compassion, his mercy, his grace, and that word compassion is an inward agitation. When you see somebody suffering, you want to do something about it. I want to see Martha up and running. 100-yard dash, Martha, you and me tomorrow morning. I want to see it. I want to see Sue free. I want to see Loretta free. I want to see these people just touched by God and radically changed physically and emotionally, because there's weights on God's people that's weighing them down, and they just focus on it because it's before them all the time. And God says, I just want to bless you. Just want to help you. Just want to touch you. And we need to be in a place as a body of Christ where that divine energy and power of God are surging through us every moment of every day, because you never know who you're going to come across. Do you ever wake up in a bad mood? Not Tony. You do? You want to do the confession? I take a nap. You know what I find? When I'm crabby, I'll get a phone call. Somebody needs something. Needs prayer. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You go to the post office. pretty soon somebody's coming out. Oh, Pastor. Yeah, bless you. We're on guard. We're on guard for God. And he's bringing people.